Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck, and I'm your host for the first hour. In the first hour, at least in the first couple segments, we're going to be focusing a lot on the precious metals with some of everyone's favorite guests, including Richard Postma, who I am kicking off the show with. And to wrap up the show in the final two segments, I'm chatting with Jesse Felder, taking more a broad look at just what's going on in the bond market, in U.S. equity markets, and also relating to some of the moves in the safer assets like the precious metals. Doc, let's get right into it and discuss more technically the setup in gold on a longer term basis. I have a monthly chart in front of me going back to about 2009. So anyone that wants to follow along, I recommend pulling up a gold chart going back about 10 years. Now, Doc, we have had this nice breakout just this year. Finally broke that about 1370 to 1380, 1390, whatever you want to point to, that upper resistance that gold kept on testing out. It finally broke higher. But you know what? There, no markets move in a straight line. This move for gold has pretty much been a straight line move up for the last about 4 or 5 months. Take us through some of the technicals you are watching on a long-term basis, and even relating back to before gold started falling out of bed in about 2011, 2012.
Yeah, Corey, I believe that technical analysis tells us a story over time, especially if you focus on longer-term charts. I'm not a day trader, and therefore I attempt to paint a story for investors on what technicals are telling us as to the trend of longer-term price structure and movement. I do attempt at times to offer short-term predictions of prices of various asset classes, especially the precious metals, but that's not my forte since my accuracy is probably no better than most chartists, and I'll leave that sort of thing to people like Rick Ackerman. But my strength lies, I believe, in long-term trends, and that is where I hope I've helped investors for a while on your blog as regards their investing strategies over time. So I'm an investor, and an example of this has been the precious metal and precious metal stock movements over time since 2011. I've been pretty spot on when I warned investors that we would have probably a U-shaped movement in the long-term pricing of gold over considerable time, and not to purchase precious metals and stocks except on dips. The other advice I consistently gave was not to chase stocks whenever we had a sudden move higher. So I was not wildly bullish for quite a while, like many of the pundits, whenever we would have a blip in the short-term charts. If people had followed that prescription, they would have been in pretty good shape today. But I did finally turn bullish recently before this current move in the price of gold and silver, probably about a week before we started to move higher. The bottom of that U-shaped curve is now, as far as I'm concerned, in the rearview mirror, and we're now in the early beginnings of the upward move of the right arm of the U. However, I warned folks weeks ago that we're just not going to spike rapidly higher for gold, like you mentioned when you kicked off this segment. But the move higher would take time, as far as I'm concerned. I also for months have been predicting the significant move in the precious metal stocks would most likely begin in the end of this year or 2020, and I still believe strongly on this possibility. But the recent precious metal break higher, in my view, is not a false move, which once again would probably break the hearts of all the gold bugs that have salivated over the past blips over the last 8 years. unfortunately, they probably have their heads handed to them on a consistent basis if they chase these things higher. But this one really appears real to me. Now, the question is what we can expect going forward in a long-term story. And it appears that, to me, that the bear is now finally in trouble. And the odds are that in the September metal prices will, in all likelihood, close at levels below the August price closing. And we won't see prices closing higher than the August closing prices for a few weeks. I've mentioned a number of times we're probably seeing a left translated picture on the intermediate charts for gold, but it's starting to appear to me that we're really in a very bullish right translated intermediate chart for gold. And now, Corey, if you do look at the weekly and monthly charts of many of the precious metal stocks, we really have not broken out of their trading ranges as contained by their respective Bollinger bands. Some of the stocks actually are starting to, but most of them have not. So for those stocks, this is just another blip for the gold bulls to gnaw once again on, and probably another disappointment. But having said that, there really is good news for the gold bulls, I feel. Many of those stocks now appear to be farming. If they would look at the weekly charts, they're starting to form really a beautiful inverse head and shoulder pattern where the right shoulders will be farming over the next several weeks as the stock prices slowly move minimally, I believe, and I want to emphasize minimally lower. So that then brings us to the point for these stocks that odds on the best time to purchase, in my opinion, on the coming dip will most likely be later October and November period of time, because a lot of these intermediate cycles should be coming to an end at that time. So, Corey, the story seems to be unfolding, and it looks like we're not going to be able to suppress this bull any longer. I think we're in the early stages, and I mentioned before that I felt that we were probably in the beginning of the second inning, and we're approaching, in my view, the perfect storm for the precious metals and the stocks. And but it's going to people are going to have to be patient on this again. But I believe we're in for a fun ride.
All right, Doc, let's break down some of what you said there, because there's a lot to unpack. One of the key parts being that in the next couple months, you think that we will see a bit of a pullback in the overall gold price. You're not alone when it comes to technical traders as thinking that a pullback is due, especially on a more longer term basis, because of just how strong that run has been in the gold price. But also when you look at how gold topped out back in 2011 through about 2014, when it worked its way lower, it happened again in a choppy formation. You look at 2011, there is that drop from almost 2000 down to about 1550, let's say, and then a sideways movement for about a year. Since that was just the start of that pullback in that bear market, do you see something like that happening in gold, where now we have broken out, but it could take, who knows, 6 months, even a year of choppiness before we get just another substantial leg higher?
I actually like to look at the chart of 2009, at the end of 2009, when it broke up through the rising Bollinger band early on, closed high on 1 month, and then the next month it reversed considerably. We almost are setting up for a very similar scenario. And then it just kind of moved sideways for another 4 months and then break higher in, until 6 months after it hit that high in what appeared to be about October of the 2009. I think we're in a very similar scenario to that potentially. And so That's why I caution people to not get too bullish right here. But it's going to take time. But that's what I like to look at as a chart of 2009. Now, it necessarily isn't going to repeat like that, but it certainly could rhyme. And but I think our best chance is at the end of the year, December and early 2020, where we're going to start to try to take out the August closing high. But then again, I could be totally wrong about that. We could continue just to pull back here in September and move a little sideways in October and November, and then December have a very strong move again. So, but I do, based on intermediate cycles, feel that a lot of these stocks are going to come down here a little bit for a couple of months, and then that's going to be the great opportunity to purchase again.
Okay, so it sounds like a good opportunity to purchase kind of around tax loss selling season again, which, you know what, that typically is a good time, and there could be some tax loss selling this year, or at least just a little bit of pressure on some of these stocks, because investors have made at least some money on the stocks. But that brings us to some of these stocks, because you were pointing out to me off mic, whether we look at any of these names, so McEwen Mining, Alio Gold, Yamana, Coeur d'Alene, Newmont Gold Corp, these are some of the larger companies too, and some of the mid-tiers. But you look at their charts, I think you can say that Newmont Gold Corp is one of the stronger charts because it is close to that 2016 high. But whether you look at McEwen Mining, Alio, or Yamana, or Coeur d'Alene, they're still not in full-on downtrends, but you really look at the long-term chart, and the move up that they've had really is nothing compared to where they were in 2016 and even before that. What can you break down here? Let's start with, say, the McEwen chart.
Yeah, the McEwen chart, what you have to focus there on is, once again, the monthly chart. And based on that, we have done nothing. We've had a run there, and now we're pulling back, and it looks like we're going to move sideways until the end of the year again. Now, what's encouraging about the McEwen monthly chart is it appears to me that as we move later in the year, those Bollinger Bands for the month are really going to narrow, and that then sets us up for a potential breakout to the upside. So, and the other positive is that it's one on the weekly chart. The McEwen shows that we're probably forming a nice inverse head and shoulder pattern as we move out into the end of the year. The right shoulder is being formed. And so it's charts like this that really fascinate me. And I'll be adding to these stocks as I see fit as we move out toward the end of the year. But McEwen, if people would like to look at that chart, we really, on the monthly chart, have not significantly moved higher yet.
No, we really haven't. And yes, it has been a nice bounce from that low earlier on this year at about 167. I'm looking on the Toronto Exchange, up to about a high of, let's say, 284. That was over 60% move. But yeah, you look at that monthly chart and you just see really how much more room there is to the upside. But it is noteworthy to see the increase in volume as well, which really does, I think you can argue, signify kind of the start of this bull market. Same with Yamana. Let's take another look at Yamana as well, because this chart on the long-term basis, it really is just a small little blip in terms of this recovery that we've seen. Yes, Yamana is trading at levels that we haven't seen since 2016, but it's still about 70% away from reaching that high in 2016. Doc, again, this chart, it is showing, I think, the start of a bull market, but still a lot of room to work off. And just considering how aggressively it has already moved, what do you think? Just wait for another pullback and then maybe take another position here in Yamana?
Yeah, and we're going to get that pullback on Yamana, I can almost guarantee you. I'm looking at the MACD and the ADX of the weekly chart. We're going to get a pullback here. And the encouraging thing about Yamana is on the monthly chart, it has broken out of its monthly Bollinger Band and is moving high and forcing that Bollinger Band up. So that is a positive for you, man, Corey. We'll fall probably back into that uprising Bollinger Band and then move somewhat sideways into the later part of the year, and then maybe we'll start to move higher to challenge that peak back in 2016. But if you go back to early 2018, we had a little bit of a blip at the beginning of the year in January, and we've barely taken that out as far as Yamana is concerned. So we're still struggling here, but the fact that gold has broken higher, that tells us that it's only a matter of time now, in my view, that we start to get moving on these stocks as well, a lot of them.
Okay. But again, it could happen kind of at the tail end of this year after maybe a month or two slight pullback here. But as you mentioned, these are all forming an inverse head and shoulders on a long-term sense. So a couple months forming that right shoulder, and then there could be that takeoff. How quickly do you think, Doc, when the next move higher does come, or sustainable move higher, how quickly can that all happen? Is it going to be almost another straight up move like we've seen in the last 4 to 5 months?
It could be. And it's interesting that it's really gold that has been the significant mover, and the stocks have somewhat followed. I had kind of wished that we had had a stronger stock movement and then gold moving. But gold's going to be tell the story for us here. And I have a feeling that versus 2016, we're going to need a much higher gold price for these stocks to reach the levels of 2016. 2016 was really a fake out in a lot of ways for us because it happened at a relatively low price for gold. Whereas, ironically, it's going to take a higher price of gold for us to move a lot of these stocks back up to the 2016 level. If we do that, then we could have another pullback for them. It's a work in progress here. People have to realize, again, that we've had a tremendous topping in the conventional markets and the bond market, like we had talked about months ago, Corey, that would probably happen. Well, we're having a tremendous bottoming here in the precious metal market. It's an inverse thing, but it's happening. And the reason for it, the reason particularly for the conventional markets and the bond market having this massive topping process, is because we essentially have a centrally planned economy now and centrally planned a conventional market and bond market. There are no longer free markets in this country, and the government is trying desperately to keep the conventional market levitating. And so, but for the precious metals arena, it's going to get out of their control. It's coming. You can now sense it. But it's going to take time to have this happen yet. But we're starting to see the beginning of the end of this bear market.
All right, Doc. Very encouraging. We're going to wrap it up there. And I know a lot of people want to hear that it's just going to keep on going straight up, but it's already been a nice run. And I know, as I said, there are a lot of people expecting this at least short-term pullback that would be very healthy for the sector. It's just so interesting to see these stocks still not breaking out to any degree similar to the gold price. So hopefully gold continues to carry them higher. We just need some more money in the sector to fall onto some of these gold stocks, and it usually is led by the majors. Doc, great chatting with you. Thanks for taking time this weekend. Have a great rest of your week. Everyone, stick around. I'm going to be right back with Brian Lenny.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.